I'm gonna tell you what I know. Now, we all hit our rough patches, eh? So, believe me, I ain't acting cute with what I'm saying right here. But this is real talk. Why, when you about to walk inside of a store, right? Why is it so predictable what somebody's gonna say when they be like, "Excuse me, sir"? Why 22 out of 25 times is somebody asking, "Can you give them something?" Then the other times they want something else. But I'm telling you, I've been alive 38 years. And I don't recall ever going in a store and having somebody stand out front and ask, could they give me some money? You know, I could spare a few dollars, sir. Not can you spare a few dollars. Not can you spare some change. But I have some change to spare. When does that happen? Now, on one side, you'd be like, okay, well, they don't got money. They're in desperation. Right? So, where's that boldness when they finally get on their feet? Because some of them do. You hit a rough patch for a certain amount of time, but just say theoretically, some of them won't get back. Some of them will. So for the ones that do, how about you go to that same store you was in front of that all these random people stopped, gave you some rap, gave you some money, put you on your feet, gave you a dollar or two. You understand? For all them random people, when do you go back to that same store and take that same boldness and that same gall to disrupt people to give them something? I mean, you personally, if you were given money on several occasions when you were down, then when you get on your feet, you take that check and you go out there with that same boldness and you break it down into ones, whatever you got in your pocket. Get $61 bills instead of tricking it off at a strip club. Go to that same street in that same store that you was begging on. You wasn't on your feet. Can you spare some change? You know, excuse me, sir. You take the politeness, you take the boldness, and you take that $60 you would have tricked off at a strip club. This is for the people to get back on their feet. And you go to that same corner and you stop 30 random people. You give them each $2. And pay your debt back, man. Respect the game. How about some balance in the game? And it's a mentality people have. That encapsulates people's mindset. You have the boldness when you're asking for something. But your purpose is never put other people on their feet. Now, I understand, okay, maybe that person took some money and gave it to somebody who didn't have anything, whatever. But how likely is that? If you're not going to give back to the same people or the same area at the same store where people put you on your feet or helps you survive for a little bit longer. Your world has to be bigger than me, I. That's real talk. I've been alive 30-some years. I've never had somebody stop me and give me a couple of dollars going to the store. Now, I had people look out for me repeatedly. People I know, people I didn't. But it doesn't come in that form. People will look out, yes. All the time. So if you look at me, say something like that, you can look at it like, man, why you acting cute on us? You know they need the money. You know what the deal is. You know why they asking. They're in a position where they don't want to be in. And you pretty much have to be down to get to the point where you just throw pride out the window, how most people see it, and do that. All I'm saying, dog, all I'm saying is they're not taking that energy back to the street when they get on their feet. Why? Maybe it's just random luck that I never ran to a person doing that. But I know it's been at least about 40, 50 times where somebody done stopped me and asked me for something. And not one time has it been the other? So balance it out. Because you're doing that in your life somehow. You're not repaying debt. You're not respecting the game. Not to keep score. But if you got people around you that you're giving them something all the time, give, 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 the excitement should be there on their end to give to you when they're on their feet. It reminds me of something. This guy I know, I told him when I was up. I was up so high that I'm like, okay, dude always look out for me. He always look out for me. So, he had whatever going on to where he was in the bind. He had a couple cars and needed maintenance on like both of them. So I said, man, you know I'm up. So, if you need me, I swipe my car for you, man, whatever. I said, you look out so much that you ain't even got to give it back. You understand? So, he didn't take the offer. That's fine. Now, months later, or however long later, when he thought I was down, and I asked him for a favor, because resentment built up when I offered him to knock out a bill for him, to knock out that stress on his back. Resentment build, not any type of loyalty. The loyalty seemingly was there until I got in a position to do something for him. And I guess around that time, there was already some of us going head up because we had different stances on certain things, and for whatever reason, he got to the point where he would prefer that I lose. So at a point, he thought I was down and I was at the bottom. I don't know why you would think that, but he finally got an opportunity to feel like he can kick me while I was down, but I was doing fine. My resources are in order. Whether money, people, whatever. My resources are in line. Why? Because that's those people respecting the game. And that to say, I wasn't always the first person to look out for anybody else. So it's not that case where I done looked out for somebody so many times and they just decided when they get a chance finally to look out for me, they was going to do it. Nah, some of these people looked out before me and I don't get a chance to give them something as often as they give to me. So I'm not paying people as a whole as take, 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 take. But this guy in particular swore I was down. You know, he even pulled feminine tactics to where he tried to worry me about other things that I didn't necessarily have my eye on. So he was more privy to information, to things turning against me than I would be. He had access to some of my information before I did. So he had me thinking I had all these problems potentially going on and then not let me know what exactly was going on to try to keep me in some type of disarray. Because at this point, he was upset with my stance on something and something I put him up on. I was too real and gave too much reality and too much game when I spoke to him at one point. So the resentment was there because people like living their denial. So I made him open his eyes to things he did not want to see. More than just a difference of opinion, I challenged you as a person, and I disrupted your denial. So he felt I was in a position where I could lose and tried to hang me. Didn't look out. Needed a favor from him. I guess in his mind, he felt I didn't have the option, so this was his chance. You know, you don't get too many chances to hang the freeze, you know. But, you know, it didn't work naturally, so. All that happened was somebody else climbed up the ladder ahead of him by carrying it out for me. So I don't think he truly wanted to, in his logical mind, sever ties with me. I think it was more so for a reaction than anything. But the problem is, I kind of set people up because I was a certain type of way and I would have dealt with a certain thing in a certain fashion back in the day. So we would have had a back and forth, you know, that you're used to. Two guys who can't control their cool and don't have a higher purpose. They argue about nothing and we fight for a few months and then we cool again. In your eyes, that's how brothers do. We fight for a little bit, but then we cool again later. But on my plate, it's like I got more important things in my mind. So all I'm looking at is the bottom line, that you'll get so emotional in order to get a reaction, you'll do something to my detriment. Now, he done way more things for me than that one sucker move that sent him in the reverse direction. So I keep it like this. I acknowledge he looked out plenty of times. He only pulled a few sucker moves at the end, which is less things than he did positively. Right? But I just categorize it as he looked out. I do not publicly do not denounce you, but at the same time, I'm not going to run around championing you either. So we were cool. You looked out. You paid your dues. You know, so I'm not going to publicly create something or lead on if we got some type of issue, but I ain't dealing with him. So I keep it like that. I can respect the game for the times he was on top of his and he carried out what he's supposed to do. But I can't keep you around knowing you're going to get ruffled and do something sabotaging because you have feelings and all that. See, when people hear me talk about feelings and emotions, it don't mean you can't have them because we all got them. But that's the mark and the measure of who you are and how tall you stay in the game. And basically of being masculine and manly is that you can control your emotions. You do not let it dictate your next move. And that's why I tell people, motivation, you don't want it to come from, I'm going to prove people wrong, or they left me hanging and I'm going to show them that X, Y, Z. That's not what you want. Because it'll serve you for that small run, but you're training yourself to become addicted to your emotions. You're training your actions to be tied to your emotions. So when you don't feel good or you don't feel like it or you're not motivated, you're going to stop. Your production is going to drag down with your mood. Now, obviously, you could probably get more done if you're more excited. See, motivation is for people who, truthfully, who to help the people who are already taking action. See, if you made a decision to do it, you're doing it. Whatever it is you do it. Some days you don't feel like it, whatever. What motivation does is it makes it that much easier to take on your day. It's soothing to have something go along with this action you're going to take anyway. So even when motivation wanes and you're dry in motivation, you're still taking the action. So motivation is great because it makes it easier for you to endure what you're going to do anyway. Motivation is not for the person sitting on a couch to get them up and get them on the path, because it's unsustainable 99 out of 100 times to pick somebody up, then push them. We can give you a push, but you already got to be on your feet taking action. See, when they sell you products, they're mainly sold to people who are the casual average person that thinks they need motivation to get going in a direction. No. They know you're going to quit, but they'll sell you the products because you're their biggest market. Most of the people who buy are people who are going to quit anyway, and they know that. The New Year's resolution people, they'll sell you the products and they'll tie a dream to it. Aren't you tired of bap, bap, bap? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to, you know, people crave escape, to go to a beach and have your money making yourself while your feet are up? They know you crave escape from your life. So they sell you what you want to hear, show you what you want to see, and they'll sell you their motivational products. When you ask YD, it's going to do this for your life. You're going to have this, and it's going to have these type of benefits. And wouldn't it be great to have your children and your children's children, when you're no longer here, still living off your legacy and the money you left behind and the lane you set up for them to endure, push, and prospering? And they're telling you all the things that trigger your emotions. Marketing is based on triggering your emotions. And they know that about you. The person who's a non-action taker, they sell you the products, but motivation and motivational material is not really crafted to have you sustain and carry it out. They know if they got to lift you off your feet or off your bottom to put you on your feet to get you going, you're likely to quit anyway. So yeah, back to what I'm saying, you can have things motivate you to stick a battery in your back for a few seconds, but you don't want it to be an emotional bout. They said this, so I'm going to show them this. That's fine to get you started, but your intent has to change. Your vision has to be larger than that. If you're so small-minded that what you're doing is to show somebody something, and then once you show somebody something, what, you're going to create some type of new thing that somebody says to get you going? No. So while you figure yourself out and find out what you're doing and who you can affect in a positive fashion, you may need petty motivations like that. But it's not sustainable. So me, I wasn't like, I gotta show this guy and this and that. That's a byproduct. I mean, I do know in the back of my mind it's something that's happening. I know I'm ruffling feathers. I know I'm creating haters, as they say, you know. I understand that. That comes with the territory, man. The more you shine, the more healthy target you become. I mean, that's it. Which is why I tell guys, especially for my environment, you can help your environment. You can benefit them, but you don't have to be there to do it. You have a feel for what's going on, but you don't place yourself there and play king around people you are taller than. No. Your presence can be there. You can set up things for them to benefit. You can set up ways for them to make money. But you don't sit there, have people admire you and look up to you. Because if you got 20 people who admire you, you have 20 people who dislike you because 20 people admire you. So that to say, if it's all about you, which a lot of us have this thing, we want to be in a situation where it's all about us because we spent so long in a situation where it's never about us to our liking. We crave the validation and we crave making songs so we can hear people playing it, and we crave making songs so the women in the club could dance to our songs, and we crave being a ball player so we got the money, and we ride around and we crave getting this woman so when we pull up they see us pulling up and like, damn, that's your girl. So because you have self-esteem issues, you want to be the king and things are centered around you. And look at me bird feeding, giving this to the community, doing that, bird feed, give you this, having things revolve around you. But that's a quality A1 way to get your head clipped. And I told my homie, I tell Cardi all this type of stuff because Cardi be around me all the time. I tell him straight up and down, you can help your environment that you came from, you can help any environment, but certain ones you don't sit in. You do not sit there to help. I do not have to be there to help. So if you need me to do more than create financial opportunity, if you need me to do more than just lead, if you need me to do more than just influence, then you have an agenda. Because what else do you need me to do? What you want from me? At that point, you're getting close with some type of agenda. And what I told him in particular and people in general is that if you see present danger or you see it on the horizon, your natural instinct isn't to be like, yeah, they can bring it then. I'll be ready. I'll be prepared. We prepared if they come. That's not game. That's not the purpose of game. Game's to know it's coming and be 2-3 steps ahead. So by the time they think they bake the cake on you and they set you up, you already hit hard and stepped out. the purpose of vision is not to be there, that I'll be prepared when they bring it. The purpose of vision is to know it's probably coming and to be out the way already. Now, if something is inevitable and you got to take your head up, well, that's something different. But you rarely come across instances like that in life. As a leader, there's more chances, more opportunities, and more options than to go head up. It's unnecessary. It's a waste of energy. And when you're around a bunch of people you playing king with, the average person, average people, regular people, they ain't nothing else to do but for them to obsess about you. If you're a person of a certain type of status, because they're involved with kitty, girly, feminine conversations, gossipy about who's doing what and who's doing that. Oh, he should do that. I would do this. And if you're the man, it's about you. So it's building resentment when you're not there, based on the fact that the people they want attention from, they want to be talking about them, is talking about you. So you may look out for somebody directly, and that same person is bound to put you in a bad situation, even unknowing. They may brag about you, want to bring you around their peeps, and they just say you're a recording artist. Instead of you just sending the files and they want to do a verse with you, and them sending the money, send it via computer. Send the money on PayPal. Send the verse on the files, and there you go. Business is done. You got a verse, I got compensated for it. But how people are is they want to show people that they know you. I know so-and-so, and they want to get close, and they want to take pictures, which puts you right there in the space where you are now in danger, because they're bringing around people you don't know, because they don't have the same game discernment that you do. So they bring people around not picking up on their intentions, not picking up on their agenda. See, the more you're around people who bring around people, the more you're diluting and dissipating the quality, pure vision and wall of security to see who's who and what's what. Because you're relying not on you now, because you don't deal with these people they're bringing in directly. You got to rely on them to have it. And because they don't have the vision you have in most cases, then they're bringing around whoever and they haven't scanned them properly. Because they're so worrying about, I know so-and-so and I know so-and-so, they're talking themselves and you in the potential danger. And when you're around, especially environment where people don't have nothing for real, and they want just as badly to tie themselves to your name in any type of fashion they can get it. Isn't that how one of the Beatles got killed? Allegedly, the dude just wanted to kill him. So when you mention the dead guy that got killed, you would have to mention his name along with it at some point. So people are that starved to be seen, to be somebody. That's how the school shootings happen. You hear these guys with their manifestos, these videos they create that come out after they shot up school and got killed or died or whatever. They be like, you're going to know my name. You're going to regret the day you ever upset me or ever ignored me. Or women dealt with other people instead of us, dealt with other races instead of us, dealt with other men instead of me. It's ever present. So people just want to be seen, which is natural. We all want to be acknowledged. When you're a baby, whoever's around you, you get accustomed to get all this attention. Why? People want to pet the cuddly baby, hold the baby, rock the baby, play with the baby, make the baby laugh. And obviously your parents or whoever raised you, it's about you. In order for you to survive, they got to feed you when you want to be fed. They don't know how to communicate with you via words, so they got to sit around and go out of their way to figure out what you want. So it's about you, you, I. And at some point, that starts to wear off, all the way to the point where you're in school and things start to get cliquish. And now you're not a cute, cuddly kid no more, and there you go. After a while, it just wanes. It goes away. That's that. So we are trained to crave that. So as you get older, it feels like you're missing something because you're accustomed to having it. And you accept it in any form a lot of times. You could accept negative attention because it's not like when you were getting negative attention from your parents. Because you're not going to get grounded, or I don't know what forms of discipline they have for you. But it's not going to be all that. Typically, if you get attention, especially with the internet, you can say whatever, and people say something negative, they're just acknowledging you, though. And there's nobody you have to deal with in a lot of cases in person. So you can just say whatever. All you know is this is about you. That's a problem we have. So that keeping your circle small thing is not a... And people don't understand that about celebrities and people who get to a certain stage. They can't act normal around normal people. Normal people scare off and weird out people of a certain status. It's not necessarily their fault, but how do you tell somebody to act normal? Either they're acting normal, or there's some type of stimulus or excitement that's making them act different. That arouses and arises them to act different. They can't help that until they're used to being around that type of person. So you think celebrities acting exclusive and VIP because what do they tell you on songs? VIP, I'm important. Look at me. Everybody looking at me. The celebrity in a lot of cases isn't doing that so everybody can look at him and he's in the VIP. He's more important than us. They can't sit and act normal with people around them acting normal like you can. That's what they want. In most cases, they're not trying to look extra fly. That's how you perceive it. Because that's why you would be there. So you're pushing your view, your stance, and your desires onto them. They're just trying to have a normal party. And the only way they can do it is to get around people who are used to being around them or people of their status. See? That to say, yeah, you think it's fly and you think it's real to go around where you came up and still be there hanging out on a consistent base, man. If I get X, Y, Z amount of money, some people will say they would change. They acknowledge that, although we don't know because they never got X amount of status or X amount of money. Some people like, man, I wouldn't change at all. I would. And you're right, some people wouldn't. Some people are lying, but some people would be the same. They wouldn't change. But it's just not wise. And if you don't crave being the king when you go back, which is what we really want if we're honest, most of us when we say that, if you don't crave that, you know logically the safest thing is not to go back to a place where you now harbor resentment. That's why I tell you, the more humble you earn, the less likely you are to get engaged and embroiled in a nothing battle, the bigger target you are, because you're basically, without trying to, you're antagonizing people to come knock your head off. Because it's almost like we want your attention. You're not really giving us your attention. We kind of want to be around you because you got money. But the truth is, we want your money. And we say little slick comments and we gossip about you. But it never brings down your standing when we gossip. When I gossip to my friend about you, it never truly affects you. It's just me being engulfed in your presence and your name and your involvements and me not mattering to you. So this creates a resentment in people around you. People who are not close enough to do anything other than admire or hate. So you putting yourself there is not the move. Because everything you could do while physically being there, you can do while not being there. So are you there for them or you? If you want to build something, build an establishment, well, people can make things happen, you could oversee it without standing there. You want to make sure this building is adequate, then make sure the building's adequate, because they don't know you have it yet. And then when you make sure it's adequate, you see how things are going to be run, we'll put the people in there to run it, and by the time they know it's yours, you're not there no more. You can still oversee it. You see how things are being run. You want to build a school, anything. You don't have to physically be there to do the bulk of it. So you got to be honest about your true intention when you want to be the guy who comes back and does this for the hood I grew up in and all that. That ain't really about the people. That's about you. In many cases. Because you don't have to put yourself in harm's way, which is what you're doing. Of course, you can be in harm's way anywhere, but that's a nice quality way to intensify. And that's what game is about. Game is about staying ahead. So you lessen the likelihood that something's going to happen to you. Because if you truly had a tall purpose, you're not going to stand there in one. See, people got that misconception. This right here. They think, when they think about being it and important, they feel like, yeah, and because this is a small-minded guy, how he thinks. I'm going to be at the club and I'm going to be VIP. Everybody here going to recognize me as being so-and-so. They're going to be showing me love. And some people going to hate. You know what I mean? They're going to hate this. But people who actually are successful like that, they're not. Even when they have items, a house, the cars you dream of, they're not there to drive them. That's the thing that's off for you. You imagine yourself pulling up and driving around and people just swarming your car and running up to it and just admiring you. But if you're important like that, you're not standing around. You ever see them people who go on tour, them bands that go on tour for like a year or two at a time? And they get an interview and they're like, man, all I want to do is go home to my kids, man. That's all they want to do. Just meaning they want to be able to sit still for a minute. You think Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters is riding up and down his old street in his car, hoping somebody see him? No. He's on a tour. When he's not on a tour, he's chilling for a minute. And when he's not chilling for a minute, he's making songs again. He's not riding up and down the front of the club and have people run up to his ride and look at my 24s on the ride. He's not doing that. But because certain people from certain environments want to show people that I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. Because in their mind, what's the purpose of being that tall if you're not around for people to praise you? So because you want to be praised instead of, they know you're that already. We know that. So are you coming around to swarm up all this energy for them or you? They know who you are. I want to be real. I want to let them know they can touch me. Nah, that's not true. Somewhere inside of you, it validates you to have people going crazy over you like that. But Dave Grohl ain't riding up and down the street so people can see him in his car. He's not. In fact, you probably got a low-key car. And whatever it is, even if it's something amazing, he's not around to ride it. If he's in Brazil doing a show, if he's at Wembley Stadium in whatever country that is, he ain't here. He's doing media and all that 100 million miles an hour when it's album time. A camera up in his face. Now, if you're sitting around on the street, it must seem glorious because you're looking at being him from where you are. But your life going to change. You're not going to be sitting there in the corner gossiping and talking about what everybody's doing. Meaning, there'll be less desire for you to be the person that you and your friends sit around and talk about. You think, yeah, man, if I was it, they'd be talking about me right now. But you wouldn't be around and hear it. That's the thing. You can't have it both ways. You're trying to climb in the game, but you want to be around to see what people think while you're climbing. And that's something people are not honest with themselves about. So they put themselves in danger and in places they don't really need to be for no real good reason. It's funny, you was at a show the other day. And I always know that, like, pickup artists, they get about a one who gets good and he does it on a consistent basis. He got years in the game. He's where the volume is. He's going to get about a top-notch woman you can get. When you go to a show, people think like celebrities, artists, they get the top-notch. And that's a lot of reason people want to be on. They want to get better options from the opposite sex. But like pickup artists, a lot of the great ones, they don't got all these cars and all this money and all this status, but they get the top-notch or whatever. That to say, that as an example, life is about sharpening your skills. You think you're going to get a whole bunch of items and it's going to solve your problems. It don't work that way. We was at this show, man, and one of the top artists in the game, or historically he's one of, you're relying on what's there. So you think when you're on stage and I'm going to get so-and-so to go pick out the groupies and that one and that one and that one. When you're in the crowd, he don't see, or she don't see the people in the crowd with you. The guy doesn't see this broad you sweating in the crowd. So he not going to lay up with her either. He going to go backstage and going about his business. And he going to fall asleep on the tour bus or whatever they riding in. And he going to get up and be like, what city we in now? Because it's just like a stop. Another stop, stop, stop. But just sweating this broad in the crowd, I'm like, man, if I was on stage, man, this joint would be all over me. But you was on stage, you wouldn't be seeing that joint. You'd be like, man, if I drove that car they drove, this broad would be all over me. But you didn't drive your car in the club, though, did you? So it wouldn't help you there. So how about sharpen your game? And that's just one skill I say in general, because that's how we think. If I had that, this would change. It's a fantasy land, because the people who are here who got 9 to 5, they crave escape. Man, I'd be on the beach. I don't want to work. I'd retire at 45 and be on the beach somewhere. And you would get sick of it. And the guy was like, man, the guy who got all the action and be everywhere getting all these broads y'all want, like, man, I'd be home right now chilling if I could. So it looks glamorous, and there are glamour things to the glamour life, but it ain't all glamorous, because trust me, there have been times when I had adequate paper in the pocket, hardly any worries under the sun, proper women cooperating, and it don't change everything. It makes it easier, but I'm telling you, and the main thing for guys, when you sitting around with all the money you got in your pocket, the time you've been up in your money, you would theoretically exchange some of that comfortability to be able to get the dating options you wanted. I mean, not tricking, though, not spending in a direct transaction. But think about when you had money and you wasn't worried. You had comfortable money. When you walked up the street, did women just fawn over you because you had adequate money in your pocket? So there's an illusion that when I get this money and I get that. And that's a lot of reason why people go back to play king where they from. And because the women post a sweater. And they think that in their mind. But that's not truly how it works. That's a misconception. So anything you want to get in life, you got to sharpen the skill for it. Otherwise, it's just a bigger target. You got higher to fall down from and less game to be your foundation. Because anything you talk about getting, it always requires work. And that's the part you don't want to accept. You want to get better with women? Yeah, you're going to have to work. I can get you the results, but you're going to have to work. You want to be an entertainer. And it's convenient until people stop listening and you hit a roof as far as like, okay, once my friend shared this 1 or 2 times, it stops. I spend all the time making this tape or making this product, making this video. And then after like 3 days after my friend shared it, that was the extent of it. It didn't go in my mind how I thought my friends would share it and other people see it and their friends would see it and going like it got legs on it. No. What do you do when the product you create, when the vision you have stops? And you know, put in 10 months of work and its effectiveness in your mind wore off in like a day and a half. Okay, it stopped getting shared after 2 days. Now what? So now you don't want to be what you are. So now it's not, I'm an artist and I'm a this and I'm a that. Because now it's just work from here. So do you really do this or what? Because this is a golden opportunity for people to stop. I've seen it hundreds of times. You're stopping now. Now you're lost. Now you're frustrated. Now you're the hater. So a lot of it stems from, and a lot of you not getting what you want stems from you not willing to do the work. And what's going to happen, when I come out with this album, basically speaking on the action taker's lifestyle, basically is this. The basis of this is simple. Your norm has to be abnormal. You have to embrace the work. Not just accept it. Not just endure it. You have to embrace the work. Because when I work a 9-to-5 and it funds all my other ways to get money, it funds all my other material, it funds all my other ventures, I embrace that work like I record records. It's the same work. It's work. That's all it is. Some is funner than others at times, but it's all work. It's all on the same path. Meaning, if I'm sloppy at this job, I'll be sloppy at the other job. Meaning, I understand how me sitting in here working as 9-to-5 is fueling and funding my operation. So I understand its importance and its significance. So I know if I'm a fun and make these new songs and buy this new beat and go on another day game tour, pickup tour, it funds it all. And that's going to be work too. You want all these options and these slamming joints, but you're not willing to go on the road, A, sharpen your skills, B, get on the road with a volume add and make it shake. So you don't want options either. Anything you do is going to be about the work. And I always say this. I hear this all the time. I really would do it if I can get paid for it, man. If I could do what I love and get paid for it, man. I know you wouldn't. That's why you do it when you feel like now. Because if you got to do it 40 hours a week or more, when you don't feel like it, when you're not motivated, what is it? Work. So you have to embrace the work. That's an active taking lifestyle. You don't get up and say what you feel like doing. You may hit the snooze because you're tired. You're worn out. But you can hit the snooze if you're an action taker. Because when you get up, you're going to take the action. So you can get up as an action taker and hit that snooze button. I hit that snooze button like 6 times sometimes, man. Why? Because I'm tired. If I got to hit the snooze that many times, I got to sleep some. I mean, ain't no two ways about it, you know. You're going to be worn out from taking action, though. But I know when I get up, I'm going to take action, though. And I say this to my guy all the time. If you don't get up tomorrow and you didn't get up today, like excited to take on what you're going to take on, with your day mapped out and ready, excited, you're not excitable when I got that spirit, you ain't ready for it. You don't truly want any of those results you think you want. It would be nice. You would accept them. But the problem is you wouldn't respect them and you wouldn't appreciate the result because you ain't done the work to get it. You don't understand the significance of certain things if you don't do the work. You have to earn your humble. Humble ain't free. People think when they hear you talk with conviction, and like you know what you're talking about, they think you're not humble somehow. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Humble is understanding, internalizing your limitations, internalizing what you don't know. And the only way to internalize what you don't know is to learn more things. Because everything you learn, outside of not being able to get anything done, because you truly understand your limitations there. But once you get to the point where you're pushing the envelope and you're pushing your ability and you're pushing towards your potential, the higher you climb, the more you understand your limitations. Because anything you take on, you're always starting from the bottom. You're starting from novice. You need somebody to show you. So you're actively being a student. You're actively seeking the game. The taller you climb, the better student you are. People think they can hardhead their way into being a boss. I'm a boss type. I ain't trying. What if I want to do my own thing? If you're a poor student, you're not fit to be a boss. It don't work. You can't be a teacher if you're not a great student. It's just not a thing. It's not a real thing. Now, only people who don't take the action don't understand that. Or should I say, the only people who understand that are the people who take the action. So your normal, regular person don't get that. They don't understand. They can't make the correlation. And why would they? Why could you understand and internalize something that's a step 17 part of the game when you have trouble in the first three steps? You can't control your emotions. You don't listen. Why would you understand and internalize something in step 17 when you can't get the basics correct? So it has to be earned. Humble has to be earned. If you don't take the action, if you live in a comfort zone, which is its own hell, obviously, but if you stay in that comfort zone where you're not pushing your limits, how could you earn your humble? You don't know anything about humble. You know you're not good at certain things. You know that. But you don't actively become grateful and humble because things don't remind you of it on a consistent basis. You're grateful when things go correct because you're tired of getting your head bust by being humbled, by not being good at something, by getting good at that, great at that, and then turn right around and do something similar to it that you see you could do as well, that you're starting from the bottom in. I'm totally whack in this area. But it's related to that. I know I have the ability to do it. So why sit around and talk about what I would have done if I had more time when I could just actually do it? That's what happens when you start managing your time correctly. It's like, yeah, I could do that. I want to do that. And you do it. Things you want to do, things you could do, you just end up doing them. If it makes sense, yeah, I'll do that too. You start to feel like I can do whatever. I can do that too. So people may look at me and be like, damn, how you do all that stuff? They find out one thing and another. They think I make music and then they think I spit game. And then it's, damn, I didn't know you play ball. And you know, so it's just like one thing and another thing, another thing, another thing. Not that I'm amazing at everything and I just picked it up and I'm a natural. It's because when you snip out all the things that don't really matter and the people don't really matter and you make them come at you a certain type of way, you start to eliminate a lot of people and a lot of time that you waste. And here I am at 30-something and whatever I want to take on, yeah, why don't I learn it? I'm going to learn the piano. I'm going to learn electric guitar. I'm going to learn the bass guitar. I'm going to learn the congos. I'm going to learn the guitar. Yeah, so I'm going to do it. Not like, man, you can't do everything. You got to be good at one thing. Yeah, and that's a matter of who you talk to. But in order to keep what you're good at, you're great at, what you excel at, to keep it fresh, guess what you're going to have to do? Introduce something new. That's the easy way to do it. Even in process, you may do things a certain type of way. You may write songs a certain type of way. But after a while, it's going to get stale doing the same thing the same way over and over and over. You're going to wear out. And then somebody fresh coming along, they're going to get more done quicker and have more excitement and the fervor, which is going to make people deal with them and interact with them in a certain type of way. See, how you carry yourself and the spirit you have affects how people deal with you and perceive you. They're more likely to do you a favor. They're more likely to want to be involved. You're more likely to get a positive reaction from the opposite sex. If you got a smile on your face, if you're excitable and you love what you're doing, you love where you're going, they may see that. And that's how you see certain pickup artists in this instance pick up girls without saying anything. I mean, saying nothing because they're in the pocket by the time they say something because she sprung off his spirit. It's a real thing. And then people watch that on tape and be like, man, that's fake. That's not a real thing. It's fixed. Because you got that Grinchy Gargamel spirit that goes in everything you do. It's just it taints everything you get involved with. You taint information with what your feelings are willing to accept. obviously, by the time you internalize it and say what you're going to say, you're going to drench it with more of your negative feelings. So it just affects everything you do. So obviously that affects how people deal with you. You find yourself not coming across a whole lot of allies, or you're old and you pissed away a gang of allies. You're 50-some years old and you don't have enough people who look out for you. You ain't got allies in the game. You're doing something incorrect. You're going backwards. You can't be 50-some years old, 60 years old, 40-some years old, and you don't have allies. You need a wealth in allies like you have a wealth in money. Because your money can't save you in every situation. It just can't. Because there's going to be time where you don't have access to your money. Or a favor you need that your money can't pay for. Contrary to you thinking that you having money and status will just solve everything. It don't matter how I deal with people. I'm the man. I'm this. I'm that. You competing with people. I got more than so-and-so. You're naturally going to compete with people if you have a Grinchy Gargamel spirit. It's not a real thing. Those petty battles you have in your mind only exist in your mind. You see somebody successful and you're like, man, I could do that. They ain't really doing anything. That only is competition in your mind. That only exists in your mind. Because the real score, the real scoreboard, the real resume has that person with everything and you with nothing. So by the time you say somebody's not that and they're not this and she ain't that and she don't know that, what makes her the authority? And you step off, you're still going to be the guy with nothing on the scoreboard. So I do my best to maintain that reality for my guys around me. Oh, you rap? Oh, you nice? Oh, you better than so-and-so? Or you did that song and your friends say it's better than the version so-and-so did? Now, what's the scoreboard say? So how about not concentrating so much on things that only exist in your mind? And by the time you use all that energy, you could do the real thing. Always remind them of that. Like, oh, you don't like that song? Oh, you sold more records than Madonna? And then you hate the next song? You sold more records than Britney Spears too? Oh, you the man, huh? Because that's the only reality there is. The rest is your feelings. And you can't move like that. Now, all these things don't relate to each other that I talked about. But what they all deal with is mindset. Perspective. And all the people you see get to a certain level in the game, at some point, when they're getting into their expertise and the skills they have and give you different strategies, what is going to come down to at some point? Because here's the common thread. With all the people I actively seek information from, what it's going to come down to, after you teach people the basics, after you give them insight and intel, the common thread they're all going to have is mindset training. From coaches to financial people to real estate people to consultants. The first thing they're going to do to set you on your own path and send you out with the information they have is make sure your mind is in the correct place. It's mind state. It's spirit. Because they know if they set quality bricks of information, intel, planning, direction, scope on top of a raggedy mindset, a weak foundation, you're not the proper channel for them to send this information through. You're a raggedy foundation. And your mindset's going to drench what you get. They know that going in. So they can't give you a gang of information and think it's going to matter until they correct your mind state. You can't have one without the other. So despite what you think, when you have an attitude like that, I had a guy tell me, man, I don't read them books. Why would I read them books? nobody want to read it. I don't need no inspirational book, which is not, by the way, but they deem everything is putting you up on some game is inspirational. And I don't need no inspirational book. I don't need to tell me that. Let that book show me how to get rich. It'll matter then. I'm like, okay. You can't be so silly that you don't see how this affects you 2-3 moves down the line, how you're going to need this and internalize it. You're just not going to open a book and somebody tells you how to get rich. They can do it, but it's not going to matter or register until you internalize these certain things about mindset and personality and character and how it affects everything in business and in life. So them telling you how to get money won't resonate with you because you don't have the proper landscape to build on. You haven't cultivated the mindset to take it on and be able to apply it, because it doesn't mean anything. It's just words and information. Just something to keep in mind. All this to say, respect the game, sharpen your mindset. Don't run around with your hands out. Going all the way back to what I said, don't run around with your hands out, man. Gimme, 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 gimme. Because ultimately, the taller you get, the more you're going to find yourself having large intentions that involve other people. Coping versus thriving. It's not always me, me, I cope. That's coping, getting by, getting things, hoarding, me, gimme, gimme, gimme. Thriving is when you get to the point where your intentions are longer than the vision you have right now and larger than what you see in your mind. It's going to be larger than a petty argument and a petty battle. I got to look good because so-and-so hated and said I couldn't do it. Your vision has to be taller than that. It has to stretch further than that. When you get out of me, me, I, and get some vision in your mind, then things become taller than just me and my family. Oh, me and my family. I just want to get mine. They're only looking out for themselves. So if you don't see that for yourself, then you're not there. If you never get there, then you're not there. If you don't understand how that makes sense and how it applies, then you're not there. So you've got learning to do. You've got listening to do. And contrary to all you think and all you want to accept, all of this starts with listening. You've got to be a quality listener. You got to be an active student. You got to keep yourself from hardening up in the mind and I know this already. How does this compare to what I know already? If you're a poor listener, your growth stops right there. But even more so than that, be kind, be pleasant, and be great. Freeze this, freeze that.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.